There's nothing harder to resist than a mystery. And for decades, J.D. Salinger has been just that. Every year, carloads of Salinger devotees head out to the woods of New Hampshire to see if, just maybe, Salinger will break his years of silence and talk to them. Chris Kubica has taken another route. He's given dozens of writers the chance to sound off on Salinger, to Salinger, in the form of a letter. The result is the book Letters to J.D. Salinger. Kubica told Steve Paulson he was blown away the first time he read The Catcher in the Rye.
I actually was given the book by my creative writing teacher in, 10th grade. And he said, you got to read this book. This is a really important book. And I didn't. I actually put it off for 6 months because somebody had told me what the plot of Grapes of Wrath was. And for some reason, I kept mixing up the plot of Grapes of Wrath with the title of Catcher in the Rye because of the word rye. And I was like, I don't want to read a book about a bunch of farmers in the 20s. That doesn't sound very exciting or relevant to my life. So I put it off for like 6 months. And then I finally first read it. I remember it vividly. I read it all in one sitting at home, and I had a waterbed, and I would read it, and I was laughing out loud, and I was sort of rolling and bouncing around in this sea in my room, and it was just an eye-opening experience.
Well, the appeal of The Catcher in the Rye has lasted to this day. I mean, how much of it was rooted in its time when it was written, and do young people still gravitate to it? And then the other question is, what happens if you're older? And
that's
you know,
right.
If you're in your 40s or 50s or even in your 70s, does that book still work?
Catcher in the Rye is one of these really unique gems, I think. It actually, I think, grows with you as you grow older. As I've talked to people who have read the book, you know, so there's books like, you know, Huck Finn. And if you go back to Huck Finn when you're 6, when you're 12, when you're 80, you're always going to be a 12-year-old boy floating down the river with Jim. But with The Catcher in the Rye, you read it at 16 and you're Holden Caulfield and you're living that life and you are identifying with everything that he's doing. It wasn't even until I read the book again in college personally that it even registered for me that the whole book is being told from like a hospital bed in a sanatorium. You know, I didn't even realize that because that's not, you know, what I was focusing on. But when you read it later on, like when I read it in college, you start to see the cracks in this guy's veneer. He's got some problems. And you're not really sure if he's making the right decisions in a lot of ways. And then when you're even older, I think as like a person who would be a parent to somebody like this, and you read it and you're like, God, where were his parents? Who was intervening? This guy needs intervention. He's got communication problems. He doesn't understand boundaries. He's depressed.
So after Catcher in the Rye, Salinger just kind of disappeared off the radar. But my sense is that your book is not really for J.D. Salinger. It's for the readers left behind. And for you, these are kind of your love letters to Salinger.
They kind of are. People ask me a lot, you know, do you expect J.D. Salinger to write back? Or do you, you know, did you send him a copy of the book? And what do you think he's going to say? Or do you think he's read it? Or these kind of things. And all along, I've always seen this book as a response to his, quote, letters. So he's written a very influential novel, a whole bunch of short stories that we like. In fact, correspondence actually plays a really large role in his writing. If you look at almost every short story or book, somebody's writing to somebody. So he's written all these books and he's given them to us and he's sort of checked out from society and he doesn't want to talk to us. But that's okay. We still have a lot of stuff to say. So I sort of see this book as a response to his work, and now maybe the equilibrium is back in check, so he doesn't have to write back. It's okay.
So do you have some favorite letters in the book, maybe some things that you'd like to read?
Sure. There's one letter by a writer named Robin Hemley. He sort of speculates aloud about what he thinks Salinger's been doing all of these years, and a little bit he tries to guess why he sort of became a recluse. And I'll read part of this letter. Dear Mr. Salinger, I hear you've been writing away all these years, that after you die, we're going to be deluged with J.D. Salinger manuscripts, that they're in some vault or something. I used to imagine manuscripts stacked up to the ceiling, you counting your pages like some miser counting loose change. What else do you have to do with your day? But what good is it keeping your stories to yourself? I used to think they probably couldn't be any good because you must be so out of touch with the rest of the world. But maybe you're not. I think you watch a lot of TV. So do I. I bet you bought one of those George Foreman grills off the TV, didn't you? So did I. You see, we have that in common. I feel such a connection. And then later he says, or whoa, I didn't even think about this. Maybe you actually don't like anything you've written. Maybe it's just self-doubt that's made you so reclusive. Maybe it's one of those self-loathing issues, and that's why you don't want to have anything to do with the rest of us, because you loathe us all the more for loving you. Is that it? I hope not. But if you ever want to talk about it, you know where to reach me.
You know, what's interesting about that letter, and I think that rings true for a lot of people, is they both admire him, but there's also a certain anger toward J.D. Salinger. You know, you gave us this incredible gift, so why did you disappear? You know, you owe us something else.
That's right. That's actually a really interesting theme that carries through the book a lot, is sort of this, it's like the cult of celebrity, and what do we expect of our writers, and what do we expect of celebrities? For instance, you know, Harper Lee only ever wrote one book. She wrote The Kill a Mockingbird, and I think she's still alive, correct me if I'm wrong. And she never wrote anything else. And people have always said, well, you know, what happens to Scout after The Kill a Mockingbird? Or when are you going to write your next book? And she's always just kind of been like, well, I only had one book in me, and, you know, I'm not shy about saying it, and that's all I want to do. And we've sort of left her alone. I guess she's sort of been consistent over the years. And then there's another, you know, like Stephen King has just recently said that he's thinking about capping his pen, so to speak. He was writing a book, and he just finished a book about a haunted car. And he's like, yeah, I think I already wrote a book about a haunted car. I'm recycling my ideas now, so I think I'm going to, like, try to exit while I'm on top. And while I'm sure there's some diehard fans who are like, no, you know, you can't stop. You still owe us more books. I think most people have, like, would say, you know, Stephen, you wrote a lot of stuff.
Right.
And
yeah.
Now it's okay. Right. But Salinger, my theory is that he's had a really inconsistent behavior over the years. Like, he published Catcher in the Rye, and then he sort of went away, and then he published a few more stories. And then he went into reclusion, and he shunned the public, and then he came out with another book, and then people would show up and say, are you writing? And he would say, yes, of course I'm writing. And, you know, and then they'd ask him if he's going to publish, and he'd be like, well, I don't know. I'm going to, maybe, you know, I write for myself, and we'll see. And, you know, just recently, like 5 or 6 years ago, it came out that he was planning on reprinting one of his short stories in book form. It was like the first publication in 30 years, and we're still waiting.
Is there one more letter you could read for us?
Sure. Dear J.D. Salinger, I made you a character in my 1982 novel Shoeless Joe because over the years you have made yourself conspicuous by hiding, claiming not to want publicity, but raising hell every time someone mentions your name in the media. I also knew you had worked your way through college as an actor on a cruise ship. Therefore, you know how to hold an audience and have done so many years without any new publications. Reading your collected and uncollected stories, I found you had used two characters named Kinsella, Ray in A Young Girl in 1941 with No Waste at All, published in Mademoiselle, and Richard in The Catcher in the Rye. Those were the connections I needed to draw you into my world of otherworldly baseball. Kinsella is an uncommon name, so I would name my character Ray Kinsella and have him turn up on your doorstep saying, I'm one of your fictional characters come to life. Years later, I received a letter from a Kinsella in Massachusetts, who had been your college roommate, so one small mystery was solved. When my book appeared, my publisher's lawyers received a grumbling letter from your attorneys saying that you were outraged and offended to be portrayed as a character in my book, and that you would be very unhappy if the work were transferred to other media. Hollywood didn't have the balls to use you as a character in the movie Field of Dreams, opting instead for a generic, black, reclusive author that you couldn't claim was a thinly disguised you. My publisher's lawyer said to me, look, all he can sue us for is about the sixth definition of libel, called false light, in which case he would have to go to court and say, I've been portrayed in this book as a kindly, loving, humorous individual, while in reality I'm a surly so-and-so who occasionally shoots at tourists when they drive by my house. Therefore, I've been portrayed in a false light. I'm not sorry that I did what I did, and I hope that over the years you've come to enjoy my wise and warm portrayal of you. Go the distance, Bill Kinsella.
Chris Kubica, reading an excerpt from the book Letters to J.D. Salinger. Kubica and Will Hochman edited the book.